Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Let us hear the word of God. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. That's the reading of God's word this morning. Yesterday morning, as we were meeting for our men's prayer meeting here at church, I said to the men, let us turn to Hebrews chapter 12. And they jokingly acted like they didn't know where Hebrews chapter 12 was, since we have been in Hebrews chapter 11 for such a long time. But it's true, we are moving from our sermons, our series of sermons on the halls of faith and all the individuals that are mentioned there, now coming to Hebrews chapter 12. And I think what you're going to find in Hebrews chapter 12 and chapter 13, these last two chapters of the book, is that the author is now changing his writing style. He is changing He is changing the way that he wants to communicate his message. Previously, he has written mostly what we call in the indicative. What does that mean, the indicative? That means that he has told us what Christ has done. He has told us how Christ has done it. He has told us in chapter 11 of things that have happened in the past. But now the author is now, in these last two chapters, going to speak in the imperative. He is going to exhort the Hebrews. He is going to say, now look, these are all the things that I have told you about Christ. These are the things that he has done. Now this is what you are to do, knowing all of that. And everything that he is going to say in chapters 12 and 13 flows out of what he has already told us in the book. Just to give you one example, you will notice that chapter 11 and chapter 12 designates a significant change in what he has done. He has written in chapter 11 about the race that was run, the race of life, of those in the Old Testament. But now in chapter 12, as we will see today, he is going to write to the Hebrews about their race of life that they are running. And as we will see this morning in today's sermon, this sermon is not only about the race that the Hebrews were running, it is also about our race that we are running. And so comes the title of my sermon, How is Your Running? The first word in chapter 12 again clues us into the fact that he is tying chapter 11 and chapter 12 together. Some of you have since, some of you have therefore. Whatever the meaning or the translation of the word that you have, you can see that the author is saying, look, I've told you all these things now in chapter 11, therefore this is what you are to learn from it, and this is what you are to do. And so he writes, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. He is writing in this verse about a race that he is calling us to run. But the first phrase he refers to is that since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Who are these witnesses? Well, these witnesses are the people in the Old Testament. The people that he has written about in chapter 11 are the witnesses that he is referring to. Well, what does it mean that they are witnesses and that they are surrounding us as a great cloud? Well, there are two views on this understanding. The one view, the first view, says that the Old Testament saints that he has written about in the Old Testament, those who demonstrated great faith, they are like sitting around in an arena as if they are watching the race going on. They are but spectators sitting inside of a stadium watching us run our race. They have completed their race as they lived in the Old Testament, and now they are simply observing us as we now in the New Testament days run our race. Yet if you think about that particular view and that particular perspective, that really doesn't help us much, does it? How are spectators watching us run our race, how are they going to help us? How are we going to learn from them if that is all what the author means? They can't cheer for us. They can't talk to us and offer us encouragement as we're running our race of life, as we're living our life for Christ. They just sit there and watch. And so that view, to me, seems to be incorrect. And so the second view, which I believe is the correct view, is that the Old Testament saints are witnesses of the faith in which they have lived. In other words, we read about their faith and the life that they lived and how they demonstrated that faith in their life, and we learn from that. It is a witness to us what they did to encourage us in our race. We are to look back at the character of their faith and the character of their life, and we are to learn from that. We're to gain strength from that. We're to learn how we should run our race of life as we live here on this earth. An illustration maybe for you. You remember last year about this time, Michael Johnson won the Olympics. And there was a lot of talk at that time about how he ran in his running style like Jesse Owens. He was using the race that somebody once ran in the past, the example of Jesse Owens, to inspire him to run the race that he was going to run in the 1996 Olympics. Here was somebody who was looking back on somebody's previous life, and it was encouraging and inspiring to him in how he lived and what he did to encourage him in the race that he was now going to run. Well, this is the way we are to look at the faith of those in the Old Testament. As the author is now writing, he is telling us, reflect back on the faith that they had. Reflect back on their life and what they accomplished. They are a great witness of what God can do in someone's life, of how God can deliver people, of how God can save people, of how people on earth can go through struggles and demonstrate faith. That is a witness to us, and they are surrounding us. And so, we are running the same race. Now, quite often, we don't think about that, do we? We think they in the Old Testament ran a different race than we ran. They had different circumstances. They had a different lifestyle. But the bottom line is that the author of Hebrews is telling us this morning, they ran the same race that we are running now. This is not a different race. They had their race as they focused towards heaven, as they focused towards God. The finish line of their race was that they would go to heaven, that they would win, and that they could be there with God at the end of their life. So it is with our race. Look at verse 39 and 40 again of chapter 11. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us so that not only together with us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. They were commended for their faith. Why? Not because they received the promise while they lived here on earth, but they were commended because they had their eyes on the future. Because even though God had not yet sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, they had their eyes on Him in the future. This is the same race we are running. We have our eyes on the future. We have our eyes on heaven. Now again, quite often we do not think this way, do we? Quite often we worry about the things that happen to us in the present world. We do not think about what those of the future world will think of the race that we are running. The race that we are running on earth is someday going to be compared to the race that our forefathers before us in Hebrews chapter 11, to the race that they run. We quite often think, if we live differently, if we live for God, if we are obedient to Him, what will others say about us? What will the present world say about us and those who do not know God and those who do not serve Him? If they see that we are living differently, they may disagree with us. They may hurl insults at us or make fun of us for the way that we are living. What are the others around us going to think? So often, that is our thinking. But the author of Hebrews is telling us this morning, that's not how we should be thinking. We should be thinking about those in the Old Testament and the race that they ran. And we should be thinking of how they lived in faithfulness to God, and we must evaluate our life and how we are living in comparison to them, not those in the world around us who do not know God. We are to ask ourselves as we are living, can our faith, can our purity of life, can our service to God fall below any of those who have gone before us? Abraham left his whole country. He left all the people he knew, and he became a stranger in a strange land. He left all the sinful people behind him, all of his sins, everything, and when God called him, he left. What about our calling? How does our life compare to Abraham? Have we been as faithful as him in leaving things behind, or have we been carrying things with us? What about Moses? Moses, who was called by God to lead God's people, to work with God's people, to help them, to basically serve God's people. What about us in our service to God? How is our faith? How is our race in comparison to him and what he did before God? You see, the author of Hebrews, by these witnesses, is calling us to reflect back on their faith, to reflect on our life, to reflect on the things that they have done, and compare ourselves to them. Let us live in comfort that we do not run this race alone, but we run this race alongside of those who have gone ahead of us, that we have those who we can look to, that we can learn from, that we can grow from. A second thing about this race, which is very important, and I've mentioned it briefly a moment ago, and that is that we must run our race of life with our eyes on the future. We must, as they did in having their eyes on the future, we must have our eyes on the future. They made decisions in life. They did things as they lived because they had their eyes on God, on God's Son, which would someday come. Oh, they didn't know the whole story yet, but they had their eyes on God's salvation that He would someday bring. They had their eyes that someday God had a better place for them to go, a better world where they could go and they could serve Him and dwell with God and glorify Him and enjoy Him forever. And as we read in chapter 11, we saw that every decision they made in life was based on those things, especially towards the end, as with some of them. Well, how are we making decisions? How are our lives, how are the decisions we make affecting how we are looking at the finish line? We have our eyes on the future. We have our eyes on God and someday reaching the finish line, going to heaven. He is helping us in our race. He is giving us our strength. But how are we running? Are our eyes always focused on that? Or are our eyes focused backwards? Are we looking around as we're running, as if we want to have some of the things that are around us go to heaven with us? God is calling us to have our eyes on the future, to have faith in God's promise. We are seeking the absolute, perfect glory of heaven. We are seeking the final day to go to heaven. And so the verse goes on and it tells us that since we are surrounded by these witnesses, since we are to have our eyes on the future, since we are to learn from them as we run our race, what are we to do? Well, it tells us, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us. Now, you notice that in this phrase, the author has separated the things that hinder us from the sin that is entangling us. He is making a specific distinction to mention those separated from each other. Well, first of all, what is it that hinders us from running our race? Well, that could be a variety of things. That could be someone who is trying to win a race, yet they are trying to carry something with them to the finish line because they don't want to give it up. In the New Testament days, as races were run, during the days that Hebrews was written, quite often the runners in those days would strip off all their clothing, everything they had upon them as they ran their race. They did not want to have one thing hinder them or weight them down unnecessarily that it could cost them the race. Well, in the same way, we are called to run the race towards heaven. Are we carrying things with us? Do we have weights which are holding us down? A weight could be anything that we're trying to carry along. It could be something that we love more than God. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's our homes. Maybe it's something that we have in our life that we don't want to give up for God. We instead try to carry the thing with us, and it slows us down in our race, and it hinders us from reaching the finish line. It is keeping us from God. Well, not only are we to throw off the things that hinder us, but he also goes on to say that we are to throw off the sin that so easily entangles us. We must lay aside sin as we run our race. It, as it says, so easily entangles us and slows us down. Notice what the author says in verse 4 about sin. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood. The author of Hebrews is telling them, look, the sin that you have in your lives is holding you back from God. It's holding you back from running your race. It blocks your vision of the future, of the finish line. You begin to look and enjoy the sin and reflect on that more than you enjoy reaching the finish line and going to and the enjoyment of heaven. The sin that you struggle with and that you fight with separates you from God. How can I go to God if I've done this? How can I go to God if I've lived this way? How can I go to God if I've said these things or done these things? So often that's what we think in our minds as we're living, as we're struggling with our sins. When we try to carry sin along with us, it blocks us from the finish line. It distracts us. It makes us go off in a detour towards the finish line. It weakens our desire to finish the race. And as sin separates us from God, so sin separates us from where we are going. We want to go to God. But if we can't pray to God because of our struggle with sin, then our eyes are not on God, where our final destination is, but we fall away. But there's something else about sin in the context of this race, which I think is very, very important and what our author is getting at here. And that is that so often as we run our race of life, as we're living our lives, sin comes with us. And it doesn't go away, but it stays with us as we are running. Sometimes we think, well, we'll just lay the sin aside and we won't do that for a while and we won't think about it. And then we keep on running for a while. But you know that it's still there. And at any time, any possible time, it could pop up again. We don't know when it's going to pop up. Anything could happen to us. Perhaps there's a tempting situation. Perhaps something happens in our lives or we face something or a difficult time, of course, and suddenly the sin that we thought we'd laid aside pops up again and it explodes. Do you see how the sin that we try to just lay aside stays with us as we are running? It continues to be inside of us. It continues to go along. And so the author of Hebrews, when he's saying, in your struggle against sin, you have not resisted to the point of shedding blood, is telling us that we must make our maximum effort, everything we can to do, no compromise in dealing with sin. We shouldn't just think, well, we'll just lay it aside for a while, and maybe it'll go away if we don't think about it, and then it comes back. No, we are not just to lay it aside, but we are to go on the attack. We are to take the steps we need to take to put it away so it's gone, so it doesn't go with us, so it doesn't pop up when we're not ready. And that means that not just dealing with it when a tempting situation comes along, but you are to get rid of it even before that tempting situation comes along. We know our weaknesses. We know where our struggles are. We're to pray for those things, that God will help us, that God will strengthen us, that God will keep us from tempting situations. How often don't people think, well, you know, I'll just be sailing along, and if something happens, or a tempting situation, well, it wasn't my fault, it just happened, so I couldn't help it. How often should we not be praying before even those potential situations come up that God would spare us from such a situation, that God would prepare us, that if something like that does happen, we don't just say, well, it happened, I couldn't help it, so there it is, it happened. No, we should be preparing that God would help us overcome it even before it happens. And that is going after sin, that is going on the attack. Sin stays with us if we do not work out of it. It must be our maximum effort, our maximum duty to do everything we can to put it off so it is not running with us on our race, but that it is behind us and we are leaving it behind. Well, now look at the last part of the verse. It says, let us run this race with perseverance, the race marked out for us. Some of your translations have patience. Some of you even maybe have the word endurance. All of those words are a fairly good reflection of the Hebrew word or the Greek word. It is a combination, sort of all three. But what the author is really trying to get across to us in this last part of this verse is that as we run our race, it's going to take endurance. It's going to take perseverance. As you live the Christian life, things are going to happen to you which will cause you to have perseverance. I'll guarantee you that there's going to be hardships. I'll guarantee you that there is going to be difficult times. And so the author is telling you that you are to run with perseverance. This is your race. How are you to deal with it when those things happen? Now remember, we are to focus back again on the Old Testament and what the saints did in Hebrews chapter 11. They had perseverance. They had to run their race with endurance. What the author is telling us by using this word, perseverance and endurance is that God allows us, as we run our race, just as he allowed the people in the Old Testament, to have tough times, to go through hardships, to go through struggles as we live. And God, through those situations, boosts us in our race. What does that mean? He boosts us in our race. Well, as we read through Hebrews chapter 11, how many times did not the person mentioned have his name mentioned in the halls of faith because of something he went through? David had to face Goliath. Here was a crisis situation in Israel. The Israelites did not know what to do or how God would save them. And God takes a man of faith who is brave, who looks to God, and he boosts him through the situation. It strengthens him in his race and what he did. How often did we see it in the life of Gideon, who was afraid, who had the Midianites attacking Israel? God put Gideon in this desperate situation to boost his faith, to strengthen him. That's patience. That's endurance as you run the life of faith. So does God put difficult times in our situations and in our lives. Why? Is it because our initial reaction, which is, why is God doing this to me? It doesn't happen to other people. No. God is putting those situations in our life to boost us in our faith, to teach us something, to help us grow, to help us become stronger, to help us in our perseverance, in our endurance, to strengthen us so that we focus even more on our goal, so that we realize that our life is not here on this earth, but our life is in heaven. Think about it. What could be more appropriate than for God to reward those who suffer in their life, who go through hardships, who go through difficult times? What better way could God use in people's lives to help them grow in their faith and help them run their race? And this is the author's point in verse 2 and 3. Look what it says. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And the words, the author and perfecter of our faith, if you look at those more closely in the Greek, you will say that he is the one who has run ahead of us. He is the one who has run a race ahead of us. He is the pace setter. He has already reached the goal. We are, as we run our race, to fix our eyes on him, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. He had to go to the cross. He had to suffer shame. He had to go through and endure. Do you notice the word there in the middle of verse 2? Endure. It's the same word as the end of chapter 1. Run with perseverance. You are to endure. Christ endured. Christ ran with perseverance. Christ went ahead of those who are following him and those who are serving him. And as Christ ran ahead of us, we are to focus our eyes on him. We're to focus our faith on him. Those in the Old Testament knew that they needed also a pace setter to go ahead of them so that they could be saved. So do we need a pace setter, and so we have greater revelation than they that God has saved us and God has sent his Son. Jesus went through trials. Jesus had to endure. So do we as we run our life. Jesus suffered, so do we suffer. But Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God. He has finished the race. He is there. And the author of Hebrews is calling us to have the same faith, to run after him, to fix our eyes on him and put off what is behind us, put off what is hindering us from looking to him. And so in verse 3 he concludes, consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. He faced opposition. We face opposition. He overcame. We do not fail. We do not grow weary. We do not lose heart because he's already won. How are you running? How is your race going? Are you chasing after Christ? Are you trying to carry things with you as you reach the finish line of heaven? Or are you leaving things behind? That is the question that the author of Hebrews is asking you this morning. Is your eyes fixed on Jesus, or are your eyes fixed on yourself? Let God, through his grace and power, strengthen us in our race to focus on him and his glory. Amen.